Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, so I will tell the story as they enter the tent. Hello, gentlemen. Murph and Tasker yes. Pulling up into the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. It's a pretty easy...
John, welcome.
John, Mike Danger, nice to meet you. Steve, good to see you.
Good seeing
guys,
you.
Guys, have a seat. We were standing here yesterday, and I looked out of our tent, and I see, Murph, you were doing a stand-up, I want to say. And I, hey, Murph. And Murph goes, hey, I listen to you guys every day. And I should have said, sorry about that, Murph. But I didn't. And you know, I said, come on the show anytime you want. If you're wrapping things up tomorrow, thank you for making some time
sure.
for us today, gentlemen.
You know, we were shooting... If you go to the game Thursday, it's crazy, but they put Steve to work on the big things. For me, I do the things like, welcome to New Era Field. In the event of emergency, please use this exit
shooting. Yeah, of course. Well, it's great to have you guys in for your inaugural visit. And Steve, we've talked on the phone multiple times through the course of time. And of course, we love having you guys on ESPN Rochester from noon to 3 each weekday with camp wrapping up and the backdrop of moving trucks.
Yeah.
What are your guys' takeaways from the last couple of weeks?
We got one more show to do. Are you guys here tomorrow?
We're not here tomorrow.
Yeah,
the walkthrough is here tomorrow.
Yeah, and right. I just was questioning my producer, why are we here again tomorrow? But that's okay.
Well, the reason we're here is because Sean McDermott's coming on the show for the first time in training. So we got to
come back
for
that.
Trip.
All right, very good.
Yeah. Overall impressions, it was good. It was short. I wonder if this might be the optimum amount of time to spend in Rochester. Just a couple of weeks. There's bonding going on here. I know people... discount that and poo-poo that. But I think it matters. These guys are here with each other for a couple of weeks, and I think that's important. Here's the thing, and here's something that's changed. We're just talking to Greg Connors about this, Connors and Ferris. The facilities, have you guys been up to the stadium lately, the new weight room?
No.
They are so excellent and state-of-the-art that you can't replicate that anywhere else. You can't recover from injury anywhere else like they can right now up there. So I'm sure that kind of drives them when they think of how long to spend in Rochester.
And from a pure dollars and cents standpoint, when you invest what they've invested in that facility, at some point you're going to make up for that investment. And, you know, you're investing in everything that, you know, as we're talking about moving trucks, that's an investment, right?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you try to make back that investment at some point, which is a sad thing for us to say here in Rochester, because the last thing we want to see is training camp outside of St. John Fisher College.
It hasn't been a one-way street when they come to Rochester. I mean, the Rochester fans have shown up over in Buffalo for games.
Sure.
They got a huge, over the 20 years of them coming to Rochester, you've got a whole generation of fans now that it's part of their routine, their fall. They come over to the games. You got a ton of season ticket holders over here. It's paid off for them as well, coming over here on the business side of it. Now, football side of it, it's like Murph says. It's all about camaraderie and having facilities and getting away and team building and also pretty good facilities here too.
Yeah.
I mean, because when you get to this point of the season, it's not so much about some of it is, but it's not so much about the training and the recovery as it is about the meeting rooms and the dorms and the cafeteria and having the places, the proximity of all that stuff. Well, they have most of it there at One Bills Drive. They don't have any housing, you know, or any of that stuff. And that's a key component because these guys, they don't want them moving around too much.
They are the hosts of One Bills Live, which you hear before us, noon to 3 every weekday. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here in the sports bar. Murph, wherever we go in town, how's Allen looking? How's that? Your opinion here. What did you see out of the quarterback?
I thought he looked good. I think he's kind of thriving in a new type of offense. It's not radically different, and I'm certain the terminology is very similar. But I think with the new weapons they have at wide receiver, they are expecting him to kind of develop a new skill set, which includes short passes and dump-off passes to backs coming out of the backfield. There was an awful lot of crossing routes even today. I mean, we all know smoke, John Brown can get deep, but he was wide open over the middle today. So I think he looks good. I've said this, and people kind of discount it. Look, his accuracy numbers, his pass completion percentage was down, but that's not what he's attacking here. And we asked him, was it 2 weeks ago we had him on the show, what do you plan on working on here? And he said decision-making. And I think he's making better decisions. And that will result in maybe a higher accuracy, you know, completion percentage maybe. but it resulted in better play. They need a look. They worked like one-handed offensively last year. You know, all they could do, well, they couldn't really run the ball that well either. They need to be a complete passing game, and I think they took big steps forward over these last 2 weeks with a lot more work to come, but big steps forward to being a complete passing attack offensively,
Steve,
which they really need.
When did the NFL get away from big wide receivers with massive catch radiuses? I feel like Kelvin Benjamin was like one of the last of those type of wide receivers to the wide receiver now. And, you know, McDermott called them Smurfs in his press conference. I mean, it's not about the size as much as it is about the separation. That's taken the precedent over the size and the catch rate. Less DeAndre Hopkins and more Cole Beasley. You know, when did that start to shift in the NFL?
Started to shift years ago when they started not being able to hit guys down the field. One hit within 5 yards, you know, you had, that was it. So then there started to be a niche for smaller guys, and then they liberalized the pass interference. You know, you couldn't touch the guys going down the field. Now you've got guys, you can't hit them with your helmet, you know, so the game became less physical and less demanding of the position. So lighter, smaller guys could hold up to the physical side of it more so in recent years than they could way back in the day. Back in the day, everybody had to be 6'4", 6'5",
yeah,
215, 220, because the impact and the violent nature of the game, you had to be big enough to absorb it and survive it and be able to play again that day. Now you can do that at a smaller, lighter weight, and also because of that, you get guys with skill sets that bigger guys don't have. They can get separation, they can move laterally. And often, and also offenses in the passing game have evolved sideways rather than vertical, where you've got bubble screens, whip screens, guys that are catching the ball behind the line of scrimmage out at the sideline. So all of that stuff has, if you know, the game's just evolved into a way where you need guys with those skill sets. And generally speaking, those guys are 5'9", buck 80, buck 90.
Steve, what would you have done in the NFL today? Because I would think that the way the game is today, your skill set as a wide receiver, last year you played with Jim Kelly. I mean, your skill set would work in the league today.
Well, yeah. I mean, I certainly had some success as a wideout. And, you know, it's fun to think about. But, man, I don't know if I'd want to change too much. I liked my career. I had a blast doing it. And I was on a really good team. And so I don't have any regrets about the way, you know, my career went. But certainly I told people this. I remember telling, although it's been a long time, I remember telling my family, my wife and stuff, friends, do you like playing the wide receiver more? And I used to think it was more fun to play wide receiver because you're on the field more. I just got to play more, you know, because on special teams, you're like one out of every five plays, you know. It's 20% of the plays, you know, is a special teams play, and that's what I got to play. But on offense, you got to play 40% of the plays, you know. So it was a lot more fun to be a wide receiver because you just got to play more. So, yeah.
They are the hosts of One Bills Live that you can hear every day from noon to 3 on ESPN Rochester. John Murphy and Steve Tasker, gracious with their time, joining us here in the sports bar for Bills Camp Live from St. John Fisher College. Gentlemen, every afternoon you guys do Who Won the Day. We've heard it throughout the course of camp. Now that we're at its conclusion, who won the camp on the offense and who won the camp on the defense?
That's a good question.
We're going to have this question. You're killing us because
we're doing this
show.
All right. Well, let's call it a tease for tomorrow's show.
No, let me think about it.
I'll tell you what. The guy that jumped out at us that was a surprise, we knew he was a good player when they signed him, but we didn't know how good he was going to be, was John Brown, yeah. I think. He was a big surprise, pleasant surprise. He's a much more complete wide receiver than people gave him credit for, and I think he's really been an eye-opener. I think there's a couple other, you know, Ed Oliver was everything he was advertised to be. Once the pads went on in training camp, the guy exploded onto the scene. He was a handful. He's got a high energy level, and he really played well in that. So, yeah, I think those are the two guys, one on each side of the ball, that jumped out right away.
I would go, yeah, those two, yeah. There are a lot of standouts, obviously, but I'm reluctant to – I think Ed Oliver has been great for a couple weeks here, but – there will be ups and downs, I think, in his rookie season, and you know he'll have to fight through those. And I look forward to him getting engaged in the fight. I think he'll do it well. I think he's handled everything really well. I look forward to watching him play.
Murph, looking forward to you guys having on Sean McDermott tomorrow, and I'm just curious as to what the plan is for Cody Ford. Are they just evaluating him at right guard, or are they really thinking that this might be the best five here. Your thoughts on Cody Ford starting at tackle, and now he's at guard here.
I think he's, my guess is, and we'll ask Sean, I think he's going to stay at guard. A little bit, you know, he doesn't have the arm length sometimes to look for in a prototypical tackle. He's a great athlete. He was fine at right tackle, but I think he'll stay at guard. And I think, as you point out, the object is who are the best five? If they can get Nseki on the field with Cody Ford and the others, it looks like the others are pretty much set when once you know, they get Mitch Morse back. I think they'll have their best five. And that's why my sense is they will probably keep Cody Ford at right guard, right, at least for now. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, we've been having this conversation over the last day or so, and I think it boils down to this. Cody Ford could play right tackle. I'm of the mind that he'd be a good right tackle. I think he'd be a dominant all-pro right guard.
Wow.
I think he's really a road grader down inside. He's got feet like a tackle, so he can move up to the second level in the run game. He can backpedal and catch guys. He's big enough and massive enough to take on nose tackles and defensive tackles and maybe even single them once in a while. So I think he could be a dominant guard, although he'd be a good, still a really good quality starting right tackle. I think you move him to guard, Nseki is a quality tackle. And so those two guys, you're pretty solid there in the run game and the pass. And you put them with Morse and either, you know, Quentin Spain or Spencer Long as a backup to those two and Deion Dawkins. I think you got a pretty good group there. But I think because Cody Ford can play guard better than most of the guys on the roster and Nseki can play tackle as well as anybody on the roster, right tackle, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You know, you got to, and because then if you put – anybody you put at right guard other than Cody Ford is lesser than Cody Ford, I think.
The buzzword of this camp to us was continuity. I feel like we heard continuity more than any other word out of any of the coaches' mouths through the course of their time here at St. John Fisher. And to me, the focus of that is Mitch Morse. How much does him being in concussion protocol right now hurt the ability for this new offensive line to gel heading into week one of the preseason?
Doesn't help, but there's time left here, right? We're, what, 5 weeks away from the season beginning, I think, right, still?
Are you of the mindset that they should ease him into the preseason? Or like, if he's good to go week two, if you're able to get him out there week two, he at least plays part of that game, right?
Game two, absolutely. Yeah, when he's ready. And those, they're pretty much prescribed, and they're looking for specific results in concussion protocol before they move people through the stages. So, yeah, I think that'll take care of itself. And it doesn't help to have him out, but I don't think he's missed significant time yet. And there is plenty of time still to come. But, yeah, I mean, I think you're beginning to see kind of the offensive line coalescing. You know, we talked about Cody Ford. We talked about where guys are lining up. And he would be the last piece, I think, which for what is likely to be the starting offensive line when the season opens, you know, in September. What do you think?
I think that they've got him pretty much chiseled in stone that he's going to start there when he's healthy. I think that answers some questions they had, and now they can find out about the guys around him. Who's going to back him up? Who's the best guy left standing at center? And then go from there. But as long as they think he's going to come back and do that, I don't think there's any issues. Now, communication, you know, having a guy play beside him, getting used to him and all that, there's still lots of time to get that done. But, you know, the sooner he gets back, the quicker it'll happen. I think there's still lots of time. They need a, you know, I'd like to see him have like 3 weeks to do that, you know, and maybe one or two games,
sure,
you know, to get that. But yeah, he needs to get back in as soon as he can. But it's not critical at this point.
John Murphy, Steve Tasker stopping by the Sports Bar here on 95.7 ESPN. Bills and Colts pregame coverage begins Thursday night at 5 o'clock. I'm going to be paying attention to special teams, Steve, because that's always kind of a little bit of a clue as far as who might make this team. If I can get your thoughts maybe on Andre Roberts, because I didn't think he was, wow, I didn't realize he had that receiving ability. Your thoughts on Roberts and some other guys we might see out there in special teams?
He's playing almost too good at wide receiver now to think about putting him back playing special teams.
wow.
It spread for me when I was doing it. I told him, listen, when I'm playing wide out, I can't cover kicks. It's too much. Because when I'm covering kicks, that's what I focus on. I think about it in between plays, between kicks. I'm thinking about what's going on. I'm thinking about the guys, what they, you know, it's a whole thing. When you're out there and down in distance, you ain't got time to think about anything else. So, and plus the physical toll it takes on you. And right now, Murph might, I don't know if he thinks this much of it, but if he plays that well and wide receiver, it's, you know, it's Zay Jones and Robert Foster and all those guys are thinking, wow, there's going to be a switch there, because Andre Roberts did take some one reps today. That's how good he's playing. So that throws a wrench into it, because then you get to the point, well, is he a better receiver than the backup guy is a returner? Do you want Andre Roberts returning kicks and go lesser at receiver, because it's going to be your number three guy anyway? You know, so then you have some decisions to make. But there's no question. I've been really surprised by Andre Roberts and his playing wide receiver. I think he's going to make a spot for himself and form a niche, whether it's three wides or four wides. There's no question he's given them some confidence to put him on the field.
John Murphy, Steve Tasker, our guests in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. I'll be looking forward to seeing Devin Singletary in the run game, and assuming that he's going to get a bulk of the workload, or at least a good portion of the workload, starting Thursday night. LeSean McCoy has been fairly quiet throughout the course of camp, but we did hear some comments that were made today. And boy, it sounds like he's motivated by what potentially might be negative thoughts that are around him, circling around him as a player. Bringing in a guy like Frank Gore has to help motivate LeSean McCoy, right? Whether or not Gore is effective on the field or not, the idea that this guy's been using since he turned 30, using all of the negative publicity around him as motivation to continue his career and remain successful. I mean, talk about what that might mean for LeSean McCoy, who I think has the potential to be a phenomenal running back in the NFL, regardless of his age.
I was, and Steve had to explain to me what Shady meant today, because I listened to the soundbite and I'm like, what's he getting at? And yeah, he's kind of put out, I think, by the lack of attention his way. I don't know. You know, he didn't have a great year last year. He battled through it. I do think he's got a lot left to give, but it might be kind of coming in a different form this year with fewer carries, fewer touches, and maybe that's what he's adapting to, right? What did I say to you? What does he mean by this? We played the soundbite.
It's weird.
We played the whole interview on our show, and
yeah,
I said,
we did.
What's he getting at?
He hears guys being traded. He's going to get traded or whatever.
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing is he wants to find out, what do teams think I'm worth?
Right.
You know, what is my market value? And you kind of want to know it without it being traded, kind of thing, you know? Because, but I think also every player has a way that they motivate themselves to say, listen, I'm going to prove them wrong. It's the best motivating, you know, mind game you play with yourself. You kind of churn up a chip on your shoulder. You know, Thurman was great at it when he was playing.
Thurman would invent stuff, right, to get mad about.
He would totally fabricate stuff.
Yeah.
And he would construe compliments into insults, that kind of thing. So, yeah, guys will jump through some mental hoops. Certainly at this point in his career with LeSean, the chime was that he's going to get traded. They can't keep. He's making too much money. He's over the hill. He had a horrible year last year, and it was his fault. And even though people were saying they had no offensive line or whatever, but he'll say, yeah, they're thinking I can't run anymore. All this stuff goes into the hopper for motivation and fuel. Frank Gore does the same thing in his own way. He motivates from he's motivated from within as well, and that's why these guys are really so good, because they churn up the desire to go hard, even in the off season, to train hard, to prepare hard, and to bring that to the table when they come to training camp. And so, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that, you know, he's using all that stuff that's been written about. There's no way he's going to be a Bill, because they're going to get rid of him or trade him, or he can't do it, or Frank Gore's going to take his job and he's making too much money. All of that stuff goes in the hopper. So that's common for great players to do that. They throw it all in, use it as an insult, and use it to stick it in somebody's face.
And, you know, I was just thinking, there are other backs on the roster who may or may likely not be around here in September who I'm sure are crazy about playing this game this week. You know what I mean? They can't wait. I'm talking about Yeldon. I'm talking about Marcus Murphy, Sonoris, right? Sonoris Perry. These are guys who played a little bit. They're running hard out here. And when they get in a preseason game this week, for whatever it's worth, and for them it's worth everything, they're gonna run their tails off. It's going to be kind of fun to watch, I think.
Yeah, there's some guys out there that got some talent, some skills, and they've got to feel left out. Because all anybody talks about is Gore, McCoy, Singletary, and Yeldon.
Yeah.
Everybody behind those guys, they're going to get a ton of work, and we're going to see their best effort.
Murph, there's one guy I feel sorry for Thursday night. It's you. 90 guys on both rosters.
Yeah.
But seriously, we're anxious to hear Eric Wood in that role. How's that coming along?
We've done three practice games already. We did two last Friday night.
Yeah.
And he's good. He's, you know, different. And my friend Mark Kelso was great. Eric's got a totally different perspective, the opposite side of the ball, offensive line play, as opposed to Kelso's kind of, you know, macro look from the defense, from the back of the defense. Eric, he's good. He said a couple. We've done three practice games, including one last Friday, and he said a couple of things that I thought, wow, I got to get him to talk about that. And we did, as if it were a game. Tell me what you mean by that. Tell me what you saw there. And he's really good. I think fans are going to be really excited about Eric Wood. Close to this group, you know, he spent a lot of time with this group still, and I think he's going to be good. I'm really looking forward to getting going with him on Thursday night.
Yeah. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, the host of One Bills Live, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. You guys have been gracious with your time, and I know you got to hit the road. Before we let you go, I've got one more question. It's Josh Allen related. We asked Brandon Bean when we sat with him day one of training camp, and it's my favorite way to look at quarterbacks and think about how a quarterback can matter to a team. Can the Buffalo Bills win with or because of Josh Allen?
Oh, no, with. No question. I'm sorry. With is the negative.
With or because. I mean, like, listen, if they can win with him, that's fine.
No, because. Okay. I misspoke. Because. They won a game or two because of him last year. They almost won at Miami because of him. Yeah, he's a talent. I'm thinking a lot about the opener, you know, the Jets, or the second game anyway. No, the first game, the Jets. And thinking a lot about the difference between Josh and Darnold. And I like Josh better. And there's incomplete results for both of them. But Josh has a kind of a spectacular game-making ability that you need at that position. I think, you know, he's a bit of a risk-taker. He's got the huge arm, no bigger arm in the NFL. I think he now has command of this offense, which he did not have last year. Look, I'm not saying he's going to the Pro Bowl, but I think he's going to take a significant step forward. They will win. I almost would guarantee they will win games because of him this year.
Yeah,
what do you think?
They'll win both. They'll win with him, and they'll win because of him. And I think this year they're trying to – last year there were times when, you know, and I say this a lot on our show, he puts the cape on and he tries to do – you know, he tries to carry the team like Superman, and he can do it. I mean, there were times – that Miami game down in Miami and this Miami game they had up here at the end of the season where he threw for three and ran for two.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he had the cape on. He was a superhero in that game. He should have won the one down there with the throw that got dropped at the front of the end zone. He can do that, and he probably will at times during this season. I think this year, with a step forward in the continuity of knowing the offense and taking another step and making better decisions, I think they're going to win games that look more normal. Like, they're going to score 27 points and win 27-17 kind of games where he doesn't run for 90 yards. He may run for 20 on two carries.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I see that a lot out here now, particularly in these last couple of days of camp, where the offense kind of took a step forward in the last couple of days after the weekend. The ball's out. It's on target. It's to guys who've got separation. The protection was there. Even though they're not, you know, in pads, he's making checks in the line. Just a completely different player. So I think there's going to be times when he manifests this offense where it looks like everybody's winning together. But there's no doubt he's got a big engine under the hood, and once in a while he's going to rev it, and you'll see it.
Did you guys carpool today? Who drove?
We always. He drives.
I drive. I get bored if somebody else drives.
Well, we'll try not to mess it up too bad.
I don't mind getting bored.
Home.
I take a nap every day on the way home. So.
I think we are sick of each other, though, right? 3 hours in the car
You're
together.
You're sick of me.
3 hours on the air, 3 hours in the car together. It's kind of like, what else is new, Steve?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, guys, I mean, it's been a joy having you in here. Thank you so much for carving out some time after your show to come in and give us some extra hours here, and after hours here in the sports bar. With Danger and Battaglia.
Because we've been listening to you on the way home.
We do.
Believe me.
Oh, yeah, again,
yeah,
I apologize for that. I'm sorry.
No,
hopefully we haven't embarrassed ourselves too
refreshing.
Much.
No, we have choices. Well, we'll choose you. So.
The last couple of days, it's been Comedy Central and these guys. Right,
yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't like the way this show's going. We go to Comedy Central.
High praise from the hosts of One Bills Live here in the sports bar, John Murphy and Steve Tasker. Guys, have a safe trip back
Thanks.
To Buffalo. We'll look forward to hearing you again tomorrow at noon. Here from St. John Fisher College and throughout the course of the season as well.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome stuff from the hosts of One Bills Live here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bills Camp Live, the final day for us here at St. John Fisher College.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.